giving us the Western perspective on the NHL. Here's Pete Weber on Hockey This Morning.
Welcome back to Hockey This Morning. It's Mike Ross and Rob Higgins in for Mick Kern. Mick will be back tomorrow morning as we continue in the aura of the celebration for the LA Kings, who made the rounds last night on the late night talk shows. Jimmy Kimmel, better than Jay Leno.
Just a bit. Crushed him.
Though, honestly, I'm interested to see if there's going to be an appearance on Letterman and then with Craig Ferguson. Craig Ferguson kicks ass.
He does kick ass.
I was worried when he took over for Craig Kilborn because I was a big Craig Kilborn fan.
Did you know I was on the Craig Kilborn show?
Get the hell out of here.
I know. You never believe any of the things I tell you, but it's true. I was playing bass for Our Lady Peace, and we did the Craig Kilborn show. I sat in Burbank at the studios waiting all afternoon.
Craig Kilborn kicked ass. He was so good.
You know who I met in the green room that day? Batman.
What?
Adam West.
Get.
He was in the green room. I'm looking at him like, aren't you Batman? And he's like, yep.
Yes, I was at one time. But I don't do that anymore.
Craig Kilborn was funny. I was a big fan too, Rossi, and I was excited to be on the show. And all day I'm thinking, I can't wait. I'm going to get to meet Craig Kilborn. He didn't say hello to us once. Never came in and said hello. Didn't say, you know, you'd think maybe he'd drop in the green room, say something to the people. Nothing.
What a wiener.
Not a word.
All right, he sucks. I'm glad Craig Ferguson's on this.
Yeah, night. Craig Ferguson all the way.
Let us bring in our NHL insider for today. He is the voice of the Nashville Predators and has covered the Western Conference for us all season long, Pete Weber. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning to you, gentlemen. Let's hear some more of those green room stories.
Most of them we can't tell, Pete.
Yeah, but when you said Batman, I misheard. I thought you said Batman, so it was kind of...
No, that also probably would have been a short conversation, though.
He would have been looking past you and looking.
He would have looked right through me, going.
Someone with very deep pockets, wanting to invest in a team. So.
Exactly, a bearded bass player. No interest. There.
Not so much.
Understand.
Hey, a bit of a whirlwind tour for you the last few days.
Yeah, it has been. I was very lucky. I got to go to the National Sportscasters and Sports Writers Association annual get together and. Salisbury, North Carolina. I think they keep making it later and later, so guys like Jim Jackson and myself can make it as the state winners coming in for the hockey guys, and that was a lot of fun.
And the picture you sent this morning, kind of cool, you and a certain NBC broadcaster.
Who cut his teeth, his first professional job, calling the Syracuse Blazers of the North American Hockey League, which featured Bill Goldthorpe, who cinematically became Ogie Oglethorpe in Slapshot back in the mid-70s. Yes, Bob Costas.
Very cool. So congratulations on that, Pete. And
Thank you.
I know you were in L.A. as well and spending some time around the Kings. And you also, of course, had a chance to talk to one of your colleagues, former colleagues in Bob Miller. 39 seasons as the voice of the L.A. Kings. And finally, I think one of the great pictures that I've seen over the last couple of days, finally got to hoist that cup.
Was that great? That's absolutely incredible. Thanks to David Courtney, who was the public address announcer at Staples Center. There you had Bob Miller hoisting the cup, obviously screaming in delight. Nick Nixon, the radio play-by-play man, off to the side. And Dustin Brown, of course, the captain of the Kings, making sure that nothing untoward might happen to Lord Stanley's silver chalice.
Absolutely. And let's talk about that for just a second and the contribution of Bob Miller and, of course, the uproar of the fans in that TV deals, mm-hmm. in the national TV deals around the Stanley Cup Final preclude the local TV crew from broadcasting the Stanley Cup Final. And so the LA Kings sort of thought a little bit outside the box here and came up with a neat plan to record Bob and Jim Fox and their call. So they actually did a call of the game that will be used at a later date. I know you talked to Bob Miller about that. We're going to have a listen to that.
Well, it means a lot because the networks take over after the first round, and so I'm thinking, even, you know, like last year and the start of this year, if it ever comes to this, I'm not going to get a chance to say something about the Kings winning the Cup. So this means a lot tonight. Jim and I will it'll be recorded. It'll be put on, as you say, a DVD or a CD, and Kings fans can get it later. And the ones that heard about that said, oh, I'm so happy because I've got to hear you calling the Stanley Cup championship.
As a youngster, or at least when you got started in this business, did you envision how you would call such a thing?
No, I said it's like going in the Hall of Fame. I don't think a player or a broadcaster or anybody starts a career thinking, what will I say when I get in the Hall of Fame? That's so far from your reality and from your mind, you don't even think of it. But on a couple of occasions, when Wayne Gretzky became the greatest scorer in the game and later when he became the greatest goal scorer, I did write down a couple of remarks that I wanted to get in. And I've done that for tonight. I didn't do it until yesterday when I knew we were going to do this. So I've got something ready, and I just have to time it right just before the horn. My biggest fear now is I've got this all set to finish right before the horn goes off to end the game, and they stop it with a second to go because they're going to have another face-off.
Bob Miller in conversation with Pete Weber. And Pete, recording did happen, and I just want to let folks know here, we obtained the audio from that final call. Have a listen.
This is for you, Kings players and Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League, the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Oh, so, wow.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, very, very sweet. And from a man who, he was really the guiding force throughout much of my career. I was fortunate to hook on and work with him. I left Bob in 1981, so I learned a lot from him at a very critical time of my professional life.
Pete, with your expertise in the Western Conference, when we look at the Los Angeles Kings, you'd have to think this is a pretty bright future when you look at the group here. How do you think they stand when you look at the rest of the Western Conference and how things are going to shake out next year? And if you don't mind speculating for us, what happens with this Dustin Penner file?
You know, I have the feeling the way that Dustin Penner became such actually a critical part of that team heading down the stretch. Let's just say from about the Ides of March on. And from that point on, he was a regular force with that club. Now, some people say Dustin Penner is only capable of doing this in short bursts. Well, tell the guys, on down Route 405 and so on in Anaheim about that, because he helped them win a cup, too, 5 years ago. Edmonton would probably say, what are you talking about, this guy? But he can be a very important part of the hockey club. This is a young team in basis, and, spent a lot of time the last few days with Jim Jackson of the Philadelphia Flyers, and he was happy for the Flyers contingent on the Kings for winning the Cup. I think overall, and I think what you guys were saying earlier, the odds are very much stacked against this club winning the Stanley Cup back-to-back years, not to mention the fact they just ended 45 years of trying to do this and finally accomplishing it. But I'm looking at this club that, they were second in goals against, but they were 29th in goals for. I want to see how well they play offensively over the course of a whole season now. They have more weapons. Since the Dallas Stars won the Cup, they obviously the worst goals for and the only club in double digits in the differential. They were 11th on the differential this year. Yet, what was the accomplishment? Well, they win the Stanley Cup in just 20 games, and nobody has approached that since the Detroit Red Wings did it in the strike-shortened year in 1995. So their accomplishments are, I think, rather incredible. But this was a club, and I know we've discussed this on this show many times, that underachieved during the regular year. We talked last year at the outset of the season. There were more than a few of us, and myself included, that thought they should be very high in Stanley Cup consideration. So, yeah, the eighth seed wins. They do the old Lawrence Welk, knock off a 1, a 2, and a 3, and then take care of number 6 out of the Eastern Conference to win the Cup. with the group that they are still going to have there, I have to think they're going to have a chance to be regular contenders.
I just, I don't know. I mean, I was saying earlier that personally, I just wipe out any chance of repeats.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since we've had one. And I know that the P word parody is thrown out there a lot. But this is a perfect example of why parody, I guess, to a certain extent works.
Yes.
Because you don't get the traditional dynasties that we used to get. And now I think a dynasty has been redefined to basically be teams that do contend and are in the mix on a regular basis. The Detroit's, the Pittsburgh's. Detroit's the best example just because of the mix of the Stanley Cups that they've had. But I'm with you, Pete. I'm going to be curious to see how this team reacts after going through a training camp with Daryl Sutter. I really, same thing with St. Louis and Ken Hitchcock and Anaheim with Bruce Boudreau. And it's the one thing that I've always said about teams where a head coach takes over halfway through a season or whenever he does, until he goes through a training camp, I'm not ready to completely pass judgment unless, like Daryl Sutter, you go out and you win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and we can talk, can we, also about Dan Bylsma taking over that Pittsburgh Penguins group, which has still stayed within striking distance ever since he took over and did win that Stanley Cup. So you're, to observe this really is going to be something. I guess the biggest aberration over, say, the last 15 years or so probably would have been the Carolina Hurricanes in 06. But, hey, what a strong performance they had going into the playoffs. And Daryl Sutter remembers Game 7 out of that playoffs best of all.
So, Pete, we're talking about the odds this morning. So if you're looking at the Western Conference, and if we're going to take the Los Angeles Kings and essentially take them out of the repeat conversation,
okay,
give us your odds, Pete, on who's coming out of the West next year, since it's already a conversation.
Yeah, it is already a conversation. I'm wondering what the offseason changes are going to be in Vancouver with the Luongo, the expected change out of Roberto Luongo. I think we have to take a look at them. And then elsewhere in the Western Conference, the always dark horse, and now they would be the last team in California to win the Stanley Cup. But the San Jose Sharks, they have been in this conversation now on a regular basis over the last 7-8 years. That's a club I expect a lot of as well. What will happen? What will Joey Nieuwendyk have now with more resources at his fingertips with the Dallas Stars? Those are the clubs that I think that will be first and foremost in there. Plus, as you were saying before I joined in here this morning, the Detroit Red Wings are in tremendous financial shape right now to really add to that lineup, which is still very good. It might have been better with Nick Lidstrom, to be certain, but because of his retirement, even more cap space has been cleared away. I think we better take a look at where Ken Holland's sell calls are going over the when we begin in a few weeks with free agency on the 1st of July. And who knows, maybe still something along the lines of what was done with the Detroit Red Wings and San Jose Sharks, trading rights early for a Brad Stewart, perhaps to return to where his family never left when he went out east to San Jose.
Well, as long as when Ken Hitchcock makes those phone calls into the 615, he doesn't misdial and get you, because I know what you're going to do. You're going to keep him on the line, and you're going to try and talk him out of all kinds of things. Meanwhile, you're going to be texting David Poile on your other phone. It's, I got Ken Holland on the line. And
wait, you want to talk to him, David? No, that would be intriguing, but you know something? He is way too good a general manager to have my phone number in his directory.
I just think back to a couple of years ago, and right now, for whatever reason, the specifics are they're eluding me here, but he was at a gas station and he got a phone call saying, was this maybe Bertuzzi?
Yes, I believe it was. Yes.
And he got a phone call, and he said, listen, and he says, this came out of nowhere. I mean, it really can happen at any time for these guys. So, I mean, the phones.
It's a 24-7, 366 in leap year job right now.
Yeah. Gone are those days of taking the summer off and spending it on your boat and relaxing. These guys never, ever quit.
If you're on your boat, you better have your satellite phone ready, guys.
Absolutely.
I think that Curtis Joseph wound up in Toronto over a chance meeting at a convenience store by a couple of executives at one point. So I think you're right. It's a constant job, right?
And as long as you have everything in order in your mind, you are in position then to execute what could be a real steal. I'll just talk about another one, and this is years and years ago. But Charlie Simmer, left wing on that Kings Triple Crown line, late 70s, early 80s. His agent was Brent Imlach, Punch's son. Mm-hmm. Punch was general manager of the Buffalo Sabres at the time. But Brent didn't want to make it look like it was a father-son deal. So he signed the ex-Oakland Seal, Charlie Simmer, to a minor league deal with the Los Angeles Kings. And then look what happened after that.
Pete, enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the parade that we'll be
We'll be watching that tomorrow.
Watching tomorrow, yep. And we will be checking in with you next week. It'll be the day of the awards,
yes.
But also the week of the draft. So we'll check in with you and talk some Western Conference draft news and predictions, if there are any.
Yeah, we'll have to keep reading those dispatches from Chris Cook with Chicago.
Absolutely.
He's been approaching that, yes.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Pete.
Thank you.
Pete Weber, the voice of the Nashville Predators and our Western Conference analyst, back again next week. A week from today, it's the NHL Awards in Las Vegas. Scott Laughlin, Jamie Shalley.